This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Rob Ray joins Chauffeur Bulldog game days at 4. Howard and Jeremy welcome Marty Biron Thursday mornings at 7:30 on WGR Sports Radio 550.
And there they all are right there. What's in there? Sal Capaccio's in there. Jeremy White, Chauffeur Bulldog. There's Alan Davis, John and Brian Cozio, Pat Malacaro. Whole crew is in there.
Really?
And you know what? Paul is the only one upstairs working. The rest of the guys are on vacation. Working
nine to I mean, probably this was asked yesterday when I was absent. But, Paul, do you think you would like cucumber potato chips?
I would not.
You think you would not like them?
I absolutely know I would not like them.
What's wrong with you?
What's the problem? Cucumbers or the chips?
The word cucumber came into the play. That's the problem.
What's your favorite chip?
Just regular.
Plain chips?
Plain.
Ruffled?
No, not necessarily. Although I can handle that.
This is that's as lame as liking bubbles. Vanilla is your favorite ice cream. Oh, hold on. Wait a minute.
Which you do. You can handle the Ruffles. That's not too much.
That's not too much. We don't want to get carried away after that, though.
I guess. Wow. Well, more for us, Paul. More for us.
Wow. Okay. Well, we started there. Paul Hamilton on the Wester Hotline. The Sabres not dead, but a little closer, not getting that second point last night against Montreal. What did you think of the effort?
Yeah, you got to. You're up 3-2 in the third against the Montreal Canadiens. I'm sorry, I'm not taking young team, whatever. You got to win that game. You absolutely have to win that game. And they did not play a good third period, and it came back to bite them, and they gave away a point, a little bit reminiscent like the game in Chicago where they had a one-goal lead in the third period and wound up losing it and getting 1 point out of it. So, I just thought their third period left something to be desired. I know Montreal outshot them 18-9 in the second period, but through the second period, there were things to like about the way they played, and they were able to score a couple of goals earlier in the period. Montreal started taking over, you can maybe even say the last half of the game, the second half of the second period and the third period, and you just have to win that hockey game. You can't give it up, and you can't lose it, even though it's a shootout.
Well, no shock, I think, to people who've been paying attention here, maybe all year, certainly lately. Again, goaltending to me, Paul. Like, it was such a tough night because Comrie made some dynamic saves that kept them in front. But I would say all three of the goals were just like, dude, come on.
I say one of them.
Really?
Second goal, he's got to stop. It was a bad angle. It looked to me like Dahlin got walked on the second one, and he wound up screening his goaltender. Or on the third one, I'm sorry, on Gallagher's goal. And
what is he doing on the first one? He's like complete his leg. He was completely off his – he was a disaster on the first goal.
Why is Harris wide open coming in from the point again, as usual?
But he slid over.
He's coming in wide open.
Yeah, okay.
And nobody's covering him. And everything they did in the Islander game just went right out the window in this game. You know, they aren't covering people. And, again, you just got people coming at you. He made save after save after save, especially in the third period, that gave them any chance to even get 1 point.
Travis,
I had zero problem with him last night.
Yeah, okay. I obviously did, yeah.
Is it Levi time now?
Might be. Yeah, he finally got a practice in. This is his first one today, and they let him have the net by himself, so he got a lot of work, you know, and the other two goaltenders, Anderson wasn't out there, so the other two goaltenders had the other one, so he got certainly quite a bit of work in the net. I don't know if they're going to get all three practices this week or if they might get two out of three or whatever, but at least he's finally had an NHL practice where he's been able to work out and get a lot of shots and realize, you know, what NHL shots are. So I think there's a pretty good chance we could see him by the weekend.
You're saying three do you think there might be an off day mixed in there somewhere? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it might be. I kind of thought there might be one today, but after yesterday, they probably thought better of it, and I would understand why. And decided to practice. So it wouldn't surprise me if maybe they get one tomorrow and then practice again on Thursday and play on Friday. They may practice all three. I don't really know what Granato has in store for it, but it wouldn't shock me if they practice two out of the 3 days.
So we didn't like the result, of course, but the guy that Pezzetta that got the winner in the shootout, the Tiger Williams celebration was mint, Paul. I loved that celebration.
It's like, where did you dig that out of?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it was just so long ago. A lot of people are listening to us right now are like, Tiger who?
Right?
Well, why that was better was he was Tiger Williams. He was like this massive character, but also like they didn't have a shootout. Like, you had to actually score a real goal.
Right, in games.
And celebrate like that. But, yes, nice
and
homage.
They almost got away with the shootout. I mean, here Quinn scores, so all you need is, you know, you've made four saves, your first four shots, and it looks like he's made the fifth save.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the puck just goes under him and sneaks into the net, and then they score on the next one, and you go from they're going to win. I mean, the fans, actually, you could hear them rising, thinking that the save had been made and they're going to win. And all of a sudden, the puck kind of just slowly sneaks over the line. It's like, oh, okay.
Harsh.
And then, you know, Buffalo doesn't score and Montreal does. And you go from 2 points to 1 point again. I didn't really love the selection on the shootout either, the way they went about that. You know, I know Tage Thompson's not available, and he's your second best shooter on the team. Quinn is your best shooter, but Quinn is your best shooter. You actually could have wound up not having him shoot. You had him fourth. Yeah. Why? Why is he fourth? I mean, he's shown time and time again how good he is in the AHL at it, and then he's come to the NHL and been, you know, in limited role, good at it. I just don't understand why Victor Olofsson, who shoots at 22%, is your leadoff guy and is 2 of 9 in his career. I would have actually let the kid who's playing in his first game shoot
right.
for Victor Olofsson, to be quite honest with you.
Well, let's get to the kid, because that was a pretty decent debut. I mean, it might get lost in the wash here. Who knows what his future holds, but I thought he came almost exactly as advertised, Paul, right? Around the net, heady guy. He made a great little pass on the second goal as well.
He did. And that's the thing. He's a smart player. He really is. And I remember last year in the playoffs, the Calder Cup playoffs, I remember Seth Appert talking about how everybody on the team wants him on their line. They're like fighting over him because he's such a smart player and he's a good setup man. He's unselfish and he actually has some talent, offensive skill type of talent. And everybody really wanted to be, on the line with him. And he only had played 19 regular season games because of a knee injury. And I remember also he played 10 playoff games and had 6 points in a very limited role. And it seemed like every time he got a point, it was on a big goal, an overtime goal or something near the end of the game that they mm-hmm. really needed a play, and he made one. And, he's good at both ends of the rink. And he's just a little bit nifty, like you said, on that pass, that he winds up getting the assist on. And, and the smart player of, going to the net. I before he scored, I thought to myself, because he had been around the net the whole time he was out there when they got in the zone. And I remember thinking, here he is. Yeah, he's been around the net the whole time. And Joe told me he was my first period intermission guest, and he said it was really the only play he had. He actually was trying to put it off the end wall to him because he said he saw him over there, but he didn't have a pass to him. He really didn't have a shot because the shot was going to get blocked. So he decided to try to shoot it as hard as he could off the back wall and carry him off, the other side to him, and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason it worked is because he was there. He was, on the side mm-hmm. of the net where he's supposed to be and winds up getting the goal. So he's a guy. I remember talking with Brian Koziel when we were doing the play-by-play for the prospects tournament, and I remember saying that he's probably going to be one of the first forwards up when they're looking for somebody. Now they really haven't had forward injuries, and really Hinostroza was the first forward up because he was the one that went down, and they told him he would be back. And I know Murray came up just once, didn't play as an insurance policy, and they really mm-hmm. haven't had to bring up any forwards. So really, he is the first forward to come up that was on the Amerks that actually got to play in a game.
So
and
you think
he saw why.
You think he's back down simply because the Sabres don't play a game until Friday and he's got a chance to go play, Rochester's schedule, but I would bet they play between now and Friday.
He's on emergency. He was on emergency recall, so when the emergency is over, he does have to go back down.
Got
now, they have 4 recalls. They haven't used any of them. So if they'd like him back, they can use one of their recalls.
What do you think his ceiling is? 6th-round pick from 19, Rusek. Is there a chance for him to carve out a role?
Yeah, there is. I wondered if maybe he could be a top 6 guy, or is he a pretty good, bottom 6 guy, that the guy we often talk about that can play both ends of the ice but also help you, offensively too. Could he fill a role like that, or is he more of a guy that you would want on your top 6? And I think he might be more of a bottom 6 guy, but who can absolutely contribute offensively, to be a two-way person and can be a guy that can be up against somebody's top line but still excel at both ends of the rink. So that's kind of the way I envision him. He was the second leading scorer in Rochester, and because a lot of people were asking me, well, why isn't Kulik called up? And I just kept saying, well, why not Rusek? I mean, he's older. I mean, he's not mm-hmm. 19 like Kulik. He's 23. And right now I think he's better equipped to come up. Kulik's still learning the game, so there's not a whole need to rush a 19-year-old who may get a chance before the season's over. He might get a game or two.
He was in the building last night.
Yeah, yeah. So
he knows where it is.
Right. Yeah, it's not like he's never going to get a chance, but you know, I think Rusak definitely deserved it. As I said, he has more points than Kulik, but people get, you know, mesmerized by the goals Kulik scores, and they don't really pay too much attention. Well, is he really ready to get to the NHL?
With Paul Hamilton for a few more minutes. Travis Yost had a great chart today. I think the number was 23 players in the league this year, all situations, have been on the ice for more than half of their team's goals. And Dahlin is on that list. He is second, actually, in the East. Is it Tkachuk above him? 53% or thereabouts. Like, it's slowed down. I mean, he had an injury that might have really cost him here, Paul Dahlin, but still a fabulous season for him. I don't know where the Norris odds stands, but he's probably not a winner. Still, though, a huge step for him this year.
For me, until he went into this little slump, which I think was caused because of injury, but I don't know that for sure. That's my assessment. I actually thought he should win the Norris. I thought he was, you know, the guy who was better because he's much better in his defensive zone than Carlson and some of the others. So, you know, he doesn't get a lot of credit for that. But, you know, unfortunately, this month stretch or whatever, I think, has ruined his chance to win the Norris this year. But, no, it doesn't surprise me that when you said that at all, that he would be out there for over half their goals. I mean, he was just phenomenal to start the year, whether it was scoring goals. I mean, he has 14, but he hasn't had one since the middle of January, just to show what he was doing before that. Or, you know, helping to produce goals, getting up ice and helping create offense. And so, no, that doesn't surprise me in the least.
You excited about Anthony Volpe on the Yankees? Made the opening day roster. Big story this spring. Shortstop.
I haven't paid any attention to the Yankees yet at all. Mm-hmm. I usually basically don't know anything about them until the season starts, and then I turn them on, and then I start learning about them as the games go on, and I say, who's this guy, and who's that guy, and where did this guy come from, and that type of thing. So,
well, now you know.
To be honest with you, I have not really paid any attention to them.
Youngest starting shortstop for the Yankees since Jeter? Is that right, or is he even younger than Jeter was?
I don't know.
It is exciting if he's a shortstop, because that's certainly a position they can definitely use improvement in.
Jeter would have been their opening day starter in 1996, called up in 95, starter in 96. He's 70 now, so he would have been 47.
So a
little older
than
I thought. A little older than I thought, yes.
Yeah, that those numbers are, I'm just going to say it, shocking.
Yes, they are. Paul, thanks.
Take care, guys.
All right, there's our Paul Hamilton on the West Her Hotline. His appearance is with us brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
Saw my wife eating something this morning that I had to do a double take when I saw. Couldn't really believe it was a real concoction. So my wife's sister is a bread maker.
Okay.
And this is a big occasion in my house when Aunt Annie has new bread. She's made new sourdough bread.
Okay.
She's got the starter. There's all this science to it. It's like, I got to bring it down right now. And it comes in. She's got it all wrapped in towels. Wow. It's a whole thing.
Okay.
The sourdough bread. It's great. And so,
is that any kind of a curiosity at the border?
This is my wife's sister who lives on the island.
Oh, I apologize.
But,
I'm sorry.
Good question. I don't know. Can you take bread across the border? Hopefully you can.
I think you
that
can.
That doesn't seem so bad.
If it's all covered in towels, I could just see it being like
what's going on there?
What's that? What's that exactly?
Some produce, maybe you can. Is that the thing? I don't know. Anyway, so we've got this bread.
Okay.
Kids get on the bus, 7 o'clock, time to eat. She cuts the very thick piece, too thick. She had admitted a mistake, too thick. I sit down. She's got it covered in peanut butter and blueberries.
Ooh.
Ever heard of that?
No.
So
not a big blueberry guy.
Me neither. So I quickly offered a firm rebuke of this breakfast creation.
Mm-hmm.
Sourdough, peanut butter, blueberries. Come on. Who are you trying to impress?
You had me until blueberries. I'm all right with the peanut butter on any, really any kind of toast. Yeah. But
sure.
The blueberries would throw me a little bit. Although peanut butter and jelly, I guess it kind of makes sense.
Aha! See, now she goes, listen, if this is, it's lovely that we have these arguments. If this were jam, would you say anything?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't know, is it blueberry jam? Because maybe that's a little weird. It's like, I don't know, maybe blueberry is, but strawberry or grape jelly, you wouldn't say anything. You wouldn't even notice it. It would just be a normal breakfast or food thing. Peanut right. butter and jelly.
So did she have these blueberries just sort of propped up in the peanut butter?
No, laying right on top.
Well, that's what I mean. Like,
a firm layer.
So they're not like rolling around because they're in peanut butter, so they're pretty stationary.
That's right.
Okay, because that makes it easier to consume it.
Yes, there was no issue with blueberries falling off the edges.
That's what I was concerned about.
And she said, you can only do this on the thick bread. I would never do this on like another piece of your Italian bread or wheat mm-hmm. bread or something. It's got to be on the thick. It's like, what? Well, it's thick. It's bread only thicker. Peanut butter and then blueberries. And you know what? I didn't try it, but I felt like she convinced me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I went from, I'm incredulous, who would eat this?
To intrigued.
Did you spin a wheel? Did you spin the randomizer and get peanut butter, sourdough bread, and blueberries? Is that what happened here? But no. I thought
tomorrow's another day. Maybe tomorrow is your day for peanut butter and blueberries on sourdough.
I think maybe it will be. I wasn't feeling well enough this morning yet. Like I still was off from yesterday. But I think maybe it will be. But I thought convincing the jam point really sold it.
Yeah, right. Jam.
What are we betting on the night?
Oh, it's a bunch of hockey games probably.
There's a lot.
There's a lot of hockey games. I'm red hot thanks to Joe Ostrowski.
I mean, baby.
Thursday 4-leg parlay all his. Although with a little twist, I think he had a couple of underdogs getting the points, and I just took them outright because I like the odds more, and it worked out
even better.
So 4-leg parlay in the tournament on Thursday and on Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday, I got all four games right too.
Oh,
I'm flush. I'm cruising into the summer. No,
nobody is winning in this tournament except you.
Yeah. Well, Joe was a bit. Saturday Sunday was my own doing. I didn't go looking for his picks, but Thursday he gave them to us on the air. Friday I went looking. And Joe O for the win.
Joe O. Wow. Yeah, there's a lot of hockey tonight. Sabres off till Friday when the Rangers are here. Rangers again at Philadelphia again. Rangers again after that. The Islander games kind of crunched together. Kind of weird. I guess maybe that always happens, but it just stands out. A lot of like all the Ranger games right at the end of the season like this.
Yeah.
Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Speaking of wagering, our friend Trista Crick, who joins us every Tuesday. A lot of good stuff on NFL win totals, the tournament, and some baseball from Trista. So if you missed that, or even if you didn't, stay tuned. It's coming up. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.